It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This is Iowa Week on Talk of Iowa and River to River. All week long, we're exploring artistic Iowa, and this hour, it's the Iowa sound. We've asked a musician, a maestro, a music producer, and a journalist to help us define the Iowa sound this hour. And, of course, we want to hear from you. Is there a song or a musician that really represents the Iowa sound to you? Or maybe for you, it's not so much the music or the style of music, but the way the music is made. Join the conversation, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And my first guest today is Dave Zolo, Iowa City-based singer-songwriter. He's the lead man for the Body Electric and the founding member, a founding member of the new band Middle Western, along with William Elliott Whitmore. He's also worked as a session musician with many artists over the years, founded the legendary Trailer Records, and he is here with me. Hello, Dave.
Hey, Charity.
Thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
And as an Iowa artist yourself, how did you develop your sound?
I think one of the great things about making music here in Iowa is that your sound can kind of develop organically. So it can be a part of the things that you listen to, a part of, you know, growing up in this area, you can have a real sense of place. But because there's no industry here, you don't have a lot of those kind of forces that shape music, maybe in more kind of industry strong areas, which Iowa is not.
And, of course, with music, you're being influenced by music from all over the world and all over the United States. Musical influences can come from anywhere. Were there Iowa artists that really inspired you as a young musician?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I had great mentors as well. But my dad was good friends with Patrick Hazel and Joe Price, and they
Joe
had played
Price,
together.
The classic blues man.
The blues guy, yeah. They had been in a band together called Mother Blues, which was kind of a real seminal Iowa. I wouldn't say they were just a blues band, but that was obviously a big part of what they did. So I knew those guys, and as I was a kid, I would see them. My parents would bring me to concerts. They would take me to Gabe and Walker's when I was a little guy. So I actually then, when I was probably about 20, I had a demo tape for my first band, High and Lonesome, and I'd gone out to the Sanctuary to see Bo Ramsey and Kevin Gordon play, and I had given the tape to Bo, and he ended up calling me back, and he produced our first couple records, and that was the start of a relationship for me that lasted quite a while into my career.
Well, and for people who aren't familiar with your work, let's listen to a little bit of one of your songs. Let's listen to Like You Want Me To. This is Dave Zolo and the Body Electric. Dave Zolo there and the Body Electric. And I mean, Dave, you have chosen to continue to live and work in Iowa, and that's kind of a difficult decision as a musician, because there are other places where maybe it's easier to advance your career. Why have you made the decision to stay here?
It was a real conscious decision for me. In the mid-90s, I was living in Nashville, Tennessee. I was playing piano with a guy named Todd Snyder, part of his band, the Nervous Rex, and my wife and I, she's from Des Moines, and we were down there together, and we just didn't feel comfortable there. So when Todd got left Universal MCA Records, who he was with, we kind of had to make a decision whether we wanted to stay there and try to, you know, and, you know, do, you know, pursue careers, both of us there, or come back to the Midwest. I had already started Trailer Records. It was a couple years at that point that I had been running it, and I had a great mentors in Bo, and I was playing with Greg Brown and Bo both. And it just made a lot more sense for me to come back and be a part of something that really spoke to me, that really was about community and was about, you know, like I said, it was about something organic, and it was about something that I felt like I could be a part of the larger community, Iowa City, where I grew up in this area, but also a part of a musical community. And that was very important to me, and I felt like I could do work that had some honesty to it, and I could learn from people who, and you know, and those guys had stayed here as well, and those guys had achieved success, so I was able to look to them and to see, and now there's a lot of people here making music, obviously, and that make that choice because of the way technology has changed the business.
Do you feel like being here and making that conscious decision to come back to Iowa, do you feel like that has helped to shape your sound?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no doubt about it. I don't think about things. I don't think about the industry in the way I think the people that I know that live in industry towns do. Certainly I don't. So it has helped shape the sound, and I feel free to like I said, to be a part of a larger community, which really, you know, allows me to pursue my craft as just, you know, one person in a larger community doing what they do.
We're talking this hour about the Iowa sound as we explore artistic Iowa. Dave Zolo is here with me, and he's going to stay with us throughout the hour. And I want to bring Tim Hankowich into the conversation now. Tim Hankowich is the music director for Orchestra Iowa, representing maybe a different kind of music. Hi, Tim.
Hi, how are you?
Very good. Thank you for being here today.
Oh, pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, and of course, with Orchestra Iowa, you are making music, making live music. So you are performing to the Iowa audience. You are
Correct.
Performing almost entirely with Iowa musicians.
Right.
How do you think that influences Orchestra Iowa's sound?
Oh, well, you know, like any performer-audience relationship, regardless of the style of music that you're in, I mean, one of the big puzzles for any performer is how do you make your music relevant to the audience that you're playing for, and what are the sort of the connections that you can make either in the content of what you're playing or the makeup of the musicians in your orchestra, or even just sort of some of the extra musical influences that can make a connection.
Of course, you can draw music from all over the world, although that I know that you have performed pieces that have been written in Iowa or inspired directly by
right.
Iowa.
Yeah.
How do you think a place influences classical music that, or all kinds of music that may be written there?
Well, you know, that's interesting. I think I'll sometimes in my world of orchestral classical music, people sometimes think that it doesn't have that much relevance to today. But really, music is music. It's all about the human experience, whether it's our passions, you know, our anger, love, joy, all the primary passions are in all styles and types of music. And that's really what the communication is all about. But what I've noticed is that regardless of the types of music that you play, I mean, the really great artists are able to use the sounds and influences of their environment and sort of digest it and turn it into a unique individual statement that appeals to broader audiences. And that is sort of the secret sauce in a lot of artistry that really separates good ensembles and good bands and good groups and great art from great artists.
So give me a specific example of a piece of music that you feel people would know and that represents that kind of idea.
Well, okay, so we're in Iowa, and in my field, one of the great works that's always performed here and something that our citizens should be really proud of is, of course, the New World Symphony by Dvorak. It was written here in Spillville, Iowa. But the way he communicates to the audience is he's using folk song, Czech folk song. But at the same time, when he came to this country and he saw a lot of American composers writing European derivative music that was, you know, well-crafted but really didn't have anything new or interesting to say, he was saying, listen, you guys have to start using the sounds of your environment. You should use Native American songs. Use the songs of the environment. And in fact, that's what Dvorak started to do in that Ninth Symphony, The New World. So not only was it Czech in flavor, but he was actually using indigenous American musical roots in it as well. And so he was very much sort of laying the groundwork for later generations to come, composers that would come like Gershwin and Bernstein and Copland, for example.
Well, let's listen to just a little bit of sure. the New World Symphony. You can see how that would be evocative of a landscape and really a sense of place. Of course, right. not all classical music echoes that sense of place, but
well, you're very astute because that the melody is obviously very famous and very evocative and gorgeous. But I was listening to the orchestration, you know, having that what's called an English horn, sort of a deep oboe over top of a large string bed. That sound, composers in America have been using it ever since. And if you go into any film about the Wild West, or even just general film scores in particular from John Williams, they will always use that sound to evoke the American landscape, and it's all because of this one composer.
Interesting. We're going to take a short break. Tim Great. Hankowitz will be right back. Tim Hankowitz is music director for Orchestra Iowa. Singer-songwriter Dave Zolo is also with us. We're talking about the Iowa sound this hour, and we'll be back in a moment. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This week is Iowa Week on Talk of Iowa and River to River. All week long, we're exploring artistic Iowa. I also want to mention that we have our Great Iowa Potluck coming up tomorrow night in Iowa City. It begins at 5:30 at Terry Trueblood Recreation Area. Dave Zolo will be one of the performers, along with William Elliott Whitmore, at that event, and we would love to see you there. Please bring a dish to share. This hour, we are exploring the Iowa sound. And with me, Dave Zolo, Iowa City-based singer-songwriter. He's the lead man for the Body Electric and a founding member of the new band Middle Western. With me also, Tim Hankowitz, music director for Orchestra Iowa. And also with us this hour is Luke Tweedy. He is the owner of Flat Black Studios, which is just outside of Iowa City. And he's one of the key partners in the Iowa Music Project, promoting and supporting live music in Iowa. Hello, Luke.
Hi, Charity.
Thank you so much for being here today. And, of course, you work with Iowa artists all the time. The Iowa Music Project brought together and continues to bring together, I mean, so many diverse Iowa artists. Do you think that there is an Iowa sound?
I believe that as many people as you ask will give you a different idea of what the Iowa sound is. To me, the Iowa sound is one thing. I'm sure Dave views it a different way, and Tim views it yet another way. I would say that when I try to think about what the Iowa sound is, I would say that it doesn't necessarily follow trends, per se, or fads. I think the Iowa artists that have the greatest longevity, I don't want to say they follow a pattern, but I would say that if you were to pay attention, I mean, Dave's been doing this for, 25 years,
mm-hmm,
maybe.
Mm-hmm.
You've got other artists, Will Whitmore, who you just mentioned, who I work with on a very regular basis. He has been doing it for quite a long time. Dave mentioned like Pat Hazel. Dave mentioned Bo Ramsey, Greg Brown. So I think that if I were to say there was an Iowa sound, I would say that it's honest music.
Dave was talking about the musical community in Iowa, which is something, Tim, I know that you experienced too. But, Luke, with all of the artists that you work with and you see this musical community in action, I'm sure you see a lot of musicians collaborating with others or coming into the studio to play backup, that kind of thing. How would you characterize the Iowa musical community?
Community is a fantastic word to use in regards to the groups that come through. Dave comes through the studio on a semi-regular basis, playing on lots of different records. There's artists that come through that were in just a few months ago with one band and have come back with a totally different band because they see a drummer they like or a bass player that they like, and they want to collaborate. A good example of that would be like Liz Moen has started a new record where she started with one band and now there's a different band playing with her. Because there is such a sense of community.
Well, and since you brought up Elizabeth Moen, let's listen to just a little bit of one of her songs. This is Mars by Elizabeth Moen. Just a little taste of Mars by Elizabeth Moen there, an up-and-coming Iowa artist. And we were talking about the community of Iowa artists, and we have an email, or actually a call on that subject. This is from Dan in Des Moines. He says he runs a podcast, Iowa Music Showcase, and he doesn't believe there is a single Iowan sound. He says it's very diverse, which helps with the camaraderie between musicians. And that's an interesting take on it. I mean, Dave, what do you think? Do you think that the fact that there are so many different styles actually facilitates that kind of camaraderie?
I mean, I think it can. I think just being from Iowa, it brings us together. You know, this, we were talking about this off air, about this sense of being the underdog or being, you know, lesser known or not given enough attention or respect. I think that draws people together. I mean, you have to share the same language to collaborate and to communicate. And I think as long as that's happening, then anything, any collaboration is possible.
Jumping back to Liz's song there, the background singing was done by the Des Moines artist, Anna Libera, who is completely different than Liz's stuff. And they never would have been brought together had it not been for the Iowa Music Project. They performed as an opening act for Dave and Whitmore in Middle Western. So that right there shows that, like, oh, they got to play together, and then they realized that they needed to work together.
And I've gotten to know Liz Moen's parents, just as a strange aside.
Because it's a small state.
Because there's a sense of community. They live very close to a venue in Cedar Rapids that I book, and she played there, and then I've played there since and seen them out. But it's a wonderful thing to be able to see, to really get to know people, to get to know where they come from, to get to know where their music comes from, because it's inspired by the stuff of their lives.
Well, the beauty of the artistic process is this alchemy that happens and comes together when you collaborate with artists you haven't worked before, or you cross and cross-pollinate styles. That is really the wellspring of the creative process.
Absolutely.
Well, and Tim, give us a little insight into your musical community, because while there is a little crossover here between your musical community and the one that Dave and Luke are talking about, but I see so much collaboration in the world of classical music, and I know you share musicians among different orchestras. Give us some insight into that.
Well, certainly. I mean, it's the same thing we've just been talking about. I mean, when you have a whole community of musicians who either work together all the time or tangentially, you know, Iowa's a small state, and the music world is even smaller. And so it's very easy to create partnerships and relationships, and that only helps you out in the studio or on the concert hall. But actually, I just wanted to say one thing about the so-called, you know, is there an Iowan sound? And the thing is that as beauty is in the eye of the beholder, so is music. And you'd be surprised at the sort of sounds that inspire artists. And it's not just necessarily melody and rhythm. It can be anything from, you know, the sound of the wind or the rustling of corn or the haunting sound of a train or the clack of a tractor. I mean, these are the sort of things that are in our environment. And regardless of the kind of music, these sounds ultimately find its way into the music that's being performed here.
That's so interesting. We were talking about that kind of idea with New World Symphony, but I know that you've also performed more recent compositions. Right. I would love to, why don't we listen to just a little bit of American Gothic. This is by Michael Dougherty, and of course you did a tremendous performance of this with Orchestra Iowa. Let's get a little sampling. Just a little sampling of American Gothic by Michael Dougherty. And, I mean, Tim, that song or that composition, not necessarily so much influenced by the sounds and the environment, although I think that is part of it, but by our cultural heritage and by our history in Iowa.
Well, certainly that sort of hoedown feel sort of is right front and center. I mean, it has that rural feeling and the sounds of bottles being played. I mean, that's sort of, again, who would have thought that could actually be a musical idea, and yet it sort of hints at our environment. But there's so much more that goes into that piece, because there's another movement that actually uses the folk song Down in the Valley. And the second movement is actually called, it's about winter. And the whole thing that the artist was trying to convey is how all the snowdrifts happen in the valley. And so he used that particular folk song in there. And so I don't think that the audience would have necessarily known that it was a folk song, but it would have been somewhat of the familiar as it used to a link just to communicate with the orchestra, I mean with the audience. So it's just a perfect example of using the sounds of your environment and your cultural references to create a common bond with your audience.
Well, and you are not an Iowan by birth, so you kind of had to dive headfirst into Iowa culture upon arriving in this state. So are there some things that maybe have surrounded you or surprised you about the Iowa music culture that are influenced by our past?
Yeah. You know, one thing that really surprised me when I first got here 10 years ago, the music scene is incredibly diverse, and I think more diverse than in many urban centers. I think when you get into places like the Pacific Northwest, I know there are a lot of bands that sort of have a similar sound that you can relate to, but there's just a more broad ecosystem here, ranging of all sorts of styles, that's a really helpful soup, a mixture for you to collaborate. And I think that's ultimately healthier, because it really pushes your art.
Interesting. And Dave, do you have some thoughts on that?
I do. You know, also, I should mention that just because, you know, it seems like there might be a go, if I'm a rock and roll musician, but the formal training that I got was at the Purcell School of Music here in Iowa City, where I studied classical piano for a long time, all through my childhood. And I worked with classical musicians. There was a guy named Andy Carlson who was getting a graduate degree here, who's well known in both the classical world and the bluegrass world, and he played a lot on one of my records, did an amazing job. So I don't think there's just, yeah, I mean, I think you can, there's cross-genre collaborations happening all the time, and they're really valuable, and you really learn a lot and get inspired by those.
And being in a studio environment like I am, on a daily basis, I see every kind of music come through, from punk and hardcore. I see metal bands coming through. This band Telekinetic Yeti just finished a fantastic metal record from Dubuque. I mean, when Tim says that there is really all kinds of music, I cannot agree with that more.
Mm-hmm.
There are tons and tons of bands from Iowa that are doing all sorts of different stuff.
Well, we have an email here from Doug. He said, I expected to hear the following mentioned: The Music Man, New World Symphony, Bix Beiderbecke, Glenn Miller. He says, I'd like to vote for the New World Symphony to represent us, but I also want to nominate the greatest female vocalist of the 20th century, Bonnie Kolak, which is wonderful. But that all of these things are part of Iowa's culture and past, and all of them have been subjects of Talk of Iowa programs in the past, by the way, if you want to look into our archive. But I wonder, and Tim, maybe you can go first on this. Are there Iowa music stereotypes that come from some of these big things in our past? I mean, I'm thinking about the Music Man, which, of course, I love very much. But do these stereotypes sometimes maybe paint musicians into a corner in Iowa?
Yeah, I think people on the outside looking into Iowa who don't know enough about this state just think we're a rural state, therefore it's just nothing but country. And that certainly is part of our musical culture here, but it's, again, what people are missing is the incredible diversity. And as a result, because you're stereotyped, I think it can be harder for a lot of Iowa artists to actually break out past our state because of that.
Well, and Luke, I'd love to hear your thoughts on that as well, because we've talked about making a conscious decision to stay in and work in Iowa, but you're sending the music out into the greater world. Is that a challenge?
Well, when it comes to talking about the diversity, one thing that I'd like to say is one of the bands that developed more commercial success around the state of Iowa than anybody else in the last maybe 15 years would be Slipknot out of Des Moines.
Yeah.
Which is a heavy metal band, and we'll play a little bit of them in the next segment.
Yeah, they became massively popular, which I don't think a lot of people would have called that the Iowa sound. Sending music out into the world. I mean, people are hungry for music everywhere, and now with technology the way that it is, you can literally be from anywhere and develop success if you're making good quality music and being honest with it.
And of course, I mean, when you make a record, you don't necessarily stamp from Iowa onto the record. But do you think that ever hurts you, knowing that your music recording studio is in Iowa?
Oh, no. I believe, if anything, having a music studio in Iowa helps my situation. If you were to go to somewhere like Chicago, there's thousands of studios out there, and they have to deal with things like super high overheads with their building cost and employee base and whatever. I feel like with Iowa, we have so many artists that are so hungry that it's easier in Iowa to do it than somewhere else.
Remember, once upon a time, Nashville was the cheap place to be because no one was there, and now it's the music capital of the world, and that's for exactly the same reason. At one point, the overhead was low, and it was actually a great place to start up shop.
So maybe we need to hope no one really ever discovers Iowa.
I mean, the technology has certainly changed that. As that modality of what making records means has changed, and it certainly has.
Distributing records. That's the key.
Yeah, as that modality has changed, and I don't think the other shoe has even dropped yet on it. I've seen it happen throughout my career. When I started, it was a lot harder to get your music out into the world, and that's changed considerably, which is a great thing. And it does allow more people to stay in Iowa to continue that cross-pollination of musical ideas. And so, I mean, it's a positive thing, I think, across the board.
And does it ever help you, Dave, with publicity? Because people think, oh, Iowa, well, there's got to be a story there.
You know, I don't think I've ever been approached
really?
On that. But, you know, I've gone out into the world, and I can't believe I'll be in Europe, and somebody will say, oh, you're from Iowa. Do you know Greg Brown? And I'll say, well, there's 3 million people in Iowa. I happen to know him. But I mean, you know, so there are people that will – that, you know, that are associated with Iowa, or things that are associated with Iowa. And it's amazing how far-flung the interest is.
All right, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment talking more about the Iowa sound. Dave Zolo is here, Iowa City-based singer, songwriter. He's the lead man for the Body Electric and a founding member of the new band Middle Western. Tim Hankowicz is music director for Orchestra Iowa. Luke Tweedy is the owner of Flat Black Studios outside of Iowa City. And we're going to listen to another Flat Black recording artist here. This is Brian Johansson.
Face was pinned to a bathroom towel. I didn't need tomorrow. I just needed to sleep for a while.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we are exploring the Iowa sound as Iowa Week continues on Talk of Iowa and River to River. All week long, we're exploring artistic Iowa. And with me, Luke Tweedy, the owner of Flat Black Studios outside of Iowa City, Tim Hankowicz, music director for Orchestra Iowa, Dave Zolo, Iowa City-based singer-songwriter, and we're bringing into the conversation now the journalist for the hour, Kyle Munson. He is the Iowa columnist for the Des Moines Register, also a former music critic for the Register, so he can talk about many different kinds of Iowa music, but we've asked him to give us a little bit of insight into the heavy metal community in Iowa. And before we get started with that, as we heard just a few minutes ago, Slipknot, one of the most well-known and successful, well, the most well-known and successful metal band from Iowa, founded back in the mid-90s. And here's just a little taste of Slipknot. All right, just a little taste of Slipknot. Kyle Munson, thank you so much for being here today.
Hey, thanks, Charity. Good morning.
And clearly not the stereotypical Iowa sound, but definitely an Iowa sound. Can you give us a little bit of background on the metal community in Iowa?
Well, yeah, it really did kind of come together in the mid-90s, as you said. I mean, here was this band, this you know, nine-member band that literally came out of a basement. They were practicing in a basement in Urbandale, and they started playing local clubs. And, you know, out of this core of a few musicians, they started adding other members, and, you know, people joined from other bands. And what they kind of did was bring together kind of the classic theater of, like, Kiss, but grounded in a much harder metal. So, you know, kind of Slayer and other harder American bands, and even like Norwegian death metal, black metal, that kind of a thing. I mean, these were guys that had, I mean, they knew the metal pedigree and they were genuine fans. And so, and it just made it all the more surprising for the nation at large when they were coming out of Iowa, Des Moines, Iowa. What? You know, what is this? And that really, so you started, and then there were other bands on the scene. You had a hard rock radio station that started playing more of the metal bands, like on weekends or at night. They started appearing at music festivals, and they got onto Ozzfest. So Ozzfest was a big touring production at that time, and they really gained notice on the East Coast and other places because of a prominent slot on the second stage in Ozzfest. So that in the 90s, Des Moines specifically kind of became more of a metal town. And you really had this scene where all these bands were playing in clubs and they were battling each other in band battles. And that became a real part of the Iowa sound, in you know, large part thanks to the prominence of Slipknot.
So it was kind of contagious.
Yeah, it was kind of contagious. And I just think, you know, it was just that you can't underestimate the I mean, they got serious respect from the musical community as metal musicians. I mean, Joey Jordison, the drummer who is no longer in Slipknot, but I mean, he ended up playing festivals with Metallica and other, you know, major bands and doing guest roles there. Corey Taylor, you know, the singer and the front man, he also has another band, Stone Sour, which has had success, and he is, you know, he's writing books and he lectured at Oxford. And I mean, so these guys end up doing a lot of things in a lot of different places. But yeah, I mean, the spectacle married with the just the unrelenting music that the metal community, I mean, Slipknot named their second album Iowa just because they knew that the reaction to Them being from Iowa was so, to some people, it was comical. It was just such a weird juxtaposition. So their sophomore album, they just said, okay, we're going to call it Iowa. we're just going to go ahead and, you know, we realize you guys can't understand this, so we're just going to embrace the fact that we're from this state.
Right. So the fact that was probably the number one question they were ever asked. What?
Right. Yeah, that's right. Iowa? Oh, hey, let's just use that for our album title, you know. And you know, there are a lot of things that, you know, you could get into demographics of metal and, you know, all these, you know, suburban white kids in T-shirts. And, I mean, so a lot of the qualities about Iowa as a state, you kind of help seed the ground for these metal bands, too, in a lot of ways. But, yeah, you know, so Slipknot endures today. They've had all the usual pain and trouble of bands, you know, with drugs and death and, you know, just drama and everything else. But, you know, they're still around today.
Interesting. Well, Kyle, before we let you go, I would love to hear your thoughts as somebody who, I know you're a music lover and you worked as a music critic for 10 years for the Des Moines Register. Is there something that you feel kind of defines the Iowa sound, even across genres?
Wow, that's interesting. You know, I mean, the classic Iowa sound always, you know, to me was kind of that Iowa City, Greg Brown, Bo Ramsey kind of a, you know, sound, or I could start naming off artists, Dave Zolo, one after the other, you know, kind of that roots Americana folk, whatever, you know, Greg Brown singing about walking down to Casey's or the Iowa Waltz or whatever it is. And so that's one pole. But then, yeah, the other pole is this metal sound. So, I mean, to pick one artist, to pick one song, oh, that's so incredibly tough because, I mean, there you have all these interesting pockets now. I mean, you have a really interesting group of musicians in Ames, for instance, or you've got the Codfish Hollow Barn concerts going on in northeast Iowa, or, you know, what Day Trotter is doing in the Quad Cities, Day Trotter Music and Sean Moeller over there. So, you know, to me, I love Iowa, kind of like we are politically. We're so mixed and split. I like how musically we've become kind of this potpourri, too.
Interesting. Well, Kyle, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Hey, thanks, Charity. No problem. Have a great day.
All right. Thanks a lot. And you are welcome to join our conversation as well with your thoughts on the Iowa sound. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. Tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And Barney Sherman, who hosts classical music also for Iowa Public Radio, sent me a note. He wants to note that Iowa has an incredible culture when it comes to high school choirs. By official national rankings, 15 Iowa choirs are in the top 100 spots. So Iowa has 1% of America's total population, but has produced 15% of the best high school choirs.
And
which,
jazz bands?
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would love for all of you, and here's another note. This is from Tricia in Iowa City. She just wants to mention how generous the community of musicians is when it comes to chipping into community events and being part of fundraising activities, et cetera. And we also have this from Celia. She says, we might mention the ways that, quote, non-musicians get to participate as a member of the multi-generational family folk machine in Iowa City. I'm witness to how much all kinds of people get to make music, share it, and make it a part of their grassroots experience. And there is something incredibly powerful about that opportunity to make music with other people, and that seems to be an important part of our Iowa culture. Tim, I'll let you go first on that. What is powerful about that experience? Why is it important?
You know, I think that's, in my particular line of work, that is something that sadly has been lost over time, and you're actually right on point. The whole purpose of music is communication, and it's not just from performer to audience, but for musician to musician. And I lament a time when most people could either play a musical instrument or sing, and that there was more homemade music making going on at home than there is today, because I think one of the great joys of being able to play an instrument is to share that with somebody else rather than just practicing in a practice room.
Interesting. Well, and Dave, we've talked about how so many musicians in Iowa collaborate with each other, play together, enjoy making music together.
Playing ensemble music and communicating in that nonverbal way is the most amazing experience that one of the most amazing experiences I've had
it,
in my
it
life.
It verges on psychic.
Yeah, and to be able to do it on a regular basis and to do it as my job or for any reason, it's a gift. It's a beautiful thing, and it's an amazing thing.
When you played Brian Johansen a few minutes ago, the band that is backing Brian is Dave's band, Body Electric, and that is a perfect example of a band that can get into the studio, hear somebody's song, and, like Dave said, completely psychically connect with one another. And when it works, when it gels, it's such a pleasure.
Oh, interesting. Well, and I'd love to talk about how you see music connecting with audiences. We have this is a listener email. She says she loves how musicians seem to really love the whimsy at certain concert venues in the state. I was at GARP, the music festival out at Codfish Hollow, a few weeks ago, and the bands were pulling people up on the stage and asking us to sing along with them. The closing band started playing an old church hymn, and everyone in the barn was singing. It was an awesome experience. And obviously that kind of interaction resonates with that listener. But Is there something particular, Luke, that you've found seems to make a song really resonate with Iowa audiences?
Oh, boy. Wow, that's a tough question. I mean, there's certain songs that when I see performers do them, it gets the entire audience jazz. You'll hear hooting and hollering. I think the perfect example of an Iowa-based song that makes people get up and dance would be William Elliot Whitmore's Black Iowa Dirt.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is about the songs. There's just certain things that, you know, he does a song called Johnny Law that always gets people moving too. I don't know what it is, but when it connects, it's something magical.
Yeah, and we've got Black Iowa Dirt queued up here, so we can listen to just a moment of that. This is Black Iowa Dirt by William Elliot Whitmore.
I'll put that black Iowa dirt on a biscuit. I'll put that black Iowa dirt in my tea. I'll put that black Iowa dirt in a big old bucket. I carry it around. I took a walk in the cornrow this morning. Last night it rained an inch or two. Well, it was getting hard to walk. I looked down at my feet. I got that black Iowa dirt on my shoe. Well, I got that dirt underneath my fingernails. I got that dirt running through my veins. Oh, that black Iowa dirt turned my blood to mud. Every time it rained, oh Lord, every time it rained.
All right, just a little bit of Black Iowa Dirt by William Elliot Whitmore. I'm sure a lot of audiences, that just must resonate because it's so much of a part of who we are and where we're from. I would love to hear your thoughts, Tim. I mean, you don't play the same kind of music,
no.
But what do you observe with Iowa audiences? What seems to resonate with us?
Well, certainly the rural sounds, like Black Iowa Dirt. But, you know, I was actually thinking that what I find that resonates with my audience is the sense of the familiar. Now, how do you do that? Now, is that playing works that they are all familiar with? Yeah, that's part of it. We all styles of music have their own sort of repertoire. But aside from that, the real challenge is how do you introduce something new to your audience that still feels familiar, and how do you draw upon that sort of Iowan symbolism? That is the secret sauce that you know people smarter than me can figure out, but you can hear it in performance when it happens.
And authenticity. I mean, I think that's important. To whatever that means to you.
Yeah, honestly, music is a huge deal, and that's where longevity, I feel like, comes from with Iowa artists.
Yeah, you know, to flip it around, there's a lot of popular music that's really designed for fast consumption that is here today, gone and forgotten tomorrow. The honest music is the kind of stuff that's going to stick around for a while, you know.
I think also it's important. I know we've been talking about musicians mostly, but it's important to talk about all the other people that contribute to a music scene and to making music. There's photographers, there's Little Village, you got a newspaper, there's great studios. All those
venues,
venues.
Huge, the guys that are drawing and screen printing the posters.
It's important to talk about those things too, because without all those elements, it's really impossible to have a vibrant community. You have to have all these things happening on all these different levels.
So I'm hearing from all of you, honest, authentic sound is an Iowa sound. But the thing that I'm hearing most from all of you is not the what the music sounds like, but the community that creates it. Is that what you think Iowa music is all about, Dave?
I think so. I think that's a fair assessment. I think community is really, really important. And the things that happen when communities are built, the sharing and the lifting each other up, the working together.
I think that's a super important point, is that with Iowa, it is more of a community. And like Dave said, lifting each other up. I feel like in other, like when you mentioned Nashville before, people in Nashville are trying to like do whatever they can to get ahead of the other person.
It's competitive, right? Yeah.
Where
yep.
in the state of Iowa, everybody's out for everybody else's best interest.
It's not a
We're
competitive
all trying to
sport.
Help each other
yeah,
out.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Music, it's all about people.
Mm-hmm.
And do you, I mean, I know that many of you have worked in other environments. I mean, Tim, do you feel a difference in Iowa compared to other places you've been?
Yeah, certainly it's less corporate and certainly a lot more collaborative. And it's the desire to just be better and to create something new rather than just getting ahead.
It's
a tough business. Music is a very tough business. And when you go into some other centers, the music is often lost.
What do you think about that, Dave?
I think it's very true. When I lived in Nashville, that was what I found. I was not there that long. I was on the road a lot of the time that I lived there, and I found myself really losing sight of why I was doing what I was doing. And the minute I got, I ended up writing a bunch of songs that were about growing up in Iowa, and I came back and I made a record about Iowa. That's how much that experience of being in Nashville, Tennessee, a little bit corrupted my relationship to my craft. And it was complete, quick, and it scared me. So, yeah, I've been back since. That's 20 years ago. So.
Well, and we have this comment from Jonathan, who says, don't forget Iowa hip hop. And
sure.
We've talked about so many different kinds of music this hour. I kind of feel like maybe I'm sure I've not mentioned many kinds of music being made in Iowa.
I'm so glad your listener brought that up, because hip hop is by far the most vibrant musical force that's out there since jazz. I mean, since the 1970s when it came out. I mean, in my own world, I am just astonished that composers haven't tapped into hip-hop because it's such a flexible style of music that has taken the country by storm, whether it's East Coast, West Coast, or down in San Antonio. Man, I mean, it's such a powerful...
We'll have to get you on our next show about Iowa hip-hop, Tim. Tim Hankovich, thank you so much.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Tim Hankovich, music director for Orchestra Iowa. Luke Tweedy, thank you.
Thank you for having me, Charity.
Luke Tweedy, the owner of Flat Black Studios outside of Iowa City. Dave Zolo, thank you so much.
Thank you, Charity. It was a pleasure.
And again, Dave Zolo is going to be performing at our Great Iowa Potluck tomorrow night. You can find out more information on our website, iowapublicradio.org. This is Talk of Iowa.